B-Pod Studios.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Get rid of this song. Now's the time.
Yep, go to Bear Force One. You did it. It's what a way to cleanse the palate and start anew.
It's time to celebrate the Bears out there. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Young Nicholas was out, a very long day yesterday. He was out at the Garden, basking in the wake of his father's appearance. His father going to see Gresham's O broadcast, standing in the background, hopeful that they would put him on the air.
Nick, did you stay in the North End last night?
No, he did not.
He did not?
I know he didn't. I've already discussed this with him. He had enough. He didn't mad his father. I learned so much about his father and his sexual proclivities yesterday. It was outstanding to meet the man. It was better to meet him than not to meet him.
I told you. Didn't I tell you that? I said, trust me, you're going to like him even more when you finally meet him. He's great.
He's fantastic. All right, here we go. This is Nick out in front of the Garden.
What's your name?
Xana, dude.
Can we use this for the raid?
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Jesus God.
Xana, and I don't know if I want to hear this. I mean, the guy is so happy, so fired up. And now we get the other side. That's not good.
This is
a lot of F's getting in class today. Pop quiz kids.
That's right. We're right at the end of the school years. Now is not the time to mess with Xanadu.
Xanadu.
No recess. Rainy day.
Oh, man.
The rollerblading.
Attention
flag
for you,
waving
dumbass.
In the middle of traffic. Oh. Hanson Brothers wearing. Michael Ryder banner hanging.
Saw him skating behind some stand-ups outside the Garden last night.
That guy has been skating days before the game, the day of game, for hours ahead of time. There is no bigger Bruins fan, I believe, on the planet than this guy.
I wonder if he is going to blame the jersey. We'll have to listen.
What's your name?
Xana, dude.
Can we use this for the radio?
Yes, you can.
All right, talk to me about tonight's game.
That was bad. The Bruins had an opportunity to win it on home ice, and they failed. I can say is I know how Vancouver felt in 2011. This team could have done it. They could have raised the cup, and they didn't.
In fairness, there was no riots. So say what you will about the people of Boston.
That's a good point.
There were no riots.
That's true.
Because if you were to take a blind test, and you ask people who were the most civil, people from Vancouver or people from Boston, I think unanimously people would say people from Vancouver are more civil. But yet there were legitimate riots when they lost that game.
I don't even know. I left when they were skating the cup around. I didn't see any shenanigans outside either. Doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Well, it certainly didn't happen to the degree that it happened in Vancouver.
Oh, my God, no. I mean, dude, do you remember that? That was like the guys with the shields had to come in.
Dan Roach had that story. Remember, he was there and had to get back to his hotel, and he said it's a good thing he had a 300-pound cameraman with him. Otherwise, he would have been screwed that night.
Yeah. So, say what you will about the city of Boston, and a lot of people are going to take pot shots today, but I'll tell you, we don't riot. It ain't the 84 Tigers, where, like, at the end of the next day, Tiger Stadium said, like, grr, eum, because people had actually ripped the, or pelted the stadium so much that they had ripped off Tiger Stadium. If you get a chance...
That was when they won, too, right?
Yes, that was when they won. If you get a chance, YouTube the aftermath of the Tigers' 1984 win, and there's people, like, on a... what do you call those things that Gruden has? The...
cherry picker.
Cherry picker. There's these news people on this cherry picker, and just bombarded. Bombarded with bottles and cans, just chucking them at them. That was when they went to Cass Corridor and everyone lit cars on fire. Probably not such a great place in 1984.
If they're going to do this, why didn't they just lose it in six? Let St. Louis win it at home, save us all a bunch of money, save us all a bunch of time. We had to attend just as many games and expend just as much energy for that.
So who do you think was the weak link tonight?
I'm going with Tuukka. oh, we got all this. He stole us so many games. And in the biggest, most important game, we get 2013 Tuukka Rask again. 2 goals in 17 seconds. This time, it was 2 goals at the end of the first period, and the Bruins just never came back.
So it's the off season now, officially.
It was going to be anyway. That is true.
That's true. So what are you going to do now? Are you still going to ride around on your rollerblades or stay loose?
I have so much anger towards the Bruins right now that any flag I wave would not be taken well by the general public.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
So, Xana Duchess here is on Tobin Bridge duty for the next couple hours.
Wow. Oh, my God.
What does that mean? That he's going to throw himself off the Tobin Bridge?
Yes, that's exactly what that meant.
Jeez, man.
Xana, dude, you have a lot to live for.
Somebody said this is alter ego Xanax, dude. Oh, my God. This is kind of creeping me out a little
Xana,
bit.
Xana, dude, I mean, let's not... you had a lot to live for. You're working on a master's. You have your young lady. Please, don't end it all.
She has a very simple job, is to keep me off the Tobin.
You're a lucky girl.
Oh, yeah.
So since they're going to the off season now, if you could say anything to the Boston Bruins, what would it be?
You ruined it.
Oh, my God.
Xanadude, if anything, I would think Xanadude would be looking towards the future.
Nope.
He's such a positive guy. I would think that he would be like, hey, next year.
See, that's what I thought. Like, I saw that he'd get Xanadude audio, and I was like, all right, he's probably going to be like, hey, you know what? They tried real hard. They got out there. They gave it their best. The future, I mean, look at these young guys, and no, it's you ruined it.
Xanadude, Tobin Bridge duty, what the hell?
You ruined it. You blew it. You had the chance. You had it in your hands. You had destiny in your own hands. And all you did was waste 2 months of the city of Boston's time.
God! Is this the same guy that was in here last week?
Was he... What was his face like, Nick? Was he kind of freaking you out the way he was talking?
Bipolar, dude. Bipolar, dude. I mean, the highs and lows this man experiences... My goodness. What chances are Xanadude goes to work today?
Oh. Maybe there's part of him that just didn't sleep and is right now on that, like, hate treadmill where he's like, he mentally just finds his way to work. And he sits there and he looks like all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
If you're the principal, if you're the principal, you just got to call him and go stay home.
Right. He goes, it's movie day. And he puts The Shining on for his students.
Yeah, if you're the principal, you got to just go like, all right, dude. Because you know he's like a mad genius or something. Like, yeah. You know something like off, but he like can give you pi to like the last digit. But you gotta let him stay home today for his own good.
Okay. Are you going to hang up your Bruins jersey? Are you that mad?
He will never, ever hang up his Bruins jersey. He says it now. He's depressed now. He will bounce back for next season.
Every year I have a rule. From the end of the playoffs until the 4th of July, no Bruins gear.
Well, that is... Wow.
Three whole weeks out of a year. Wow. Like,
for him, that's like, a big deal.
I just like the 4th of July.
49 weeks instead of 52.
What the hell is going on the 4th of July?
Well, you got to go to the fireworks display with your flag.
I mean, I wonder if his wife has to be like, Xana, dude, it's not the 4th of July, but I want to take the flag out. They should have a sitcom. But I want to take my... What happened to the flag? I don't know. I put it in the washing machine. Did you put this with the colors?
Oh.
Yeah, well, it's pink now. It's my lucky flag.
Episode of Who's the Boss?
I am not sure.
And once I've recovered a little, then I start breaking out the good old Neely jersey and the oldies but goodies, and we'll see what I'm doing next season.
Okay, cool. You sound like you're about to kill someone.
You know what? I can only think of 20 people on that list. None of them are Blues players, Blues fans.
Oh my God.
The Bruins did this to themselves, and that's the worst part.
Oh, he put lipstick on after he said that?
I mean, that's fairly terrifying. That is,
Xanadu, speaking as a mild acquaintance, I have to tell you that this is not the way to go through life.
There's some concern involved here. This is
not hurt good. Yourself or others, Xana.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm begging you.
Xana Dark Dude, people are saying.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
There is something healing about hearing him, though, that yeah. someone is taking this far more seriously than I am.
Yeah, right. It kind of puts things in perspective.
Yeah, like maybe I'm not weird. Like, as weird as some people.
That's right. In your darkest moments, you're not quite like this.
Like, it sucks. So like, it yeah. sucks that I don't really want to be here, but, like...
Right.
You know, I'll go home and, like, be able to sleep and everything.
Xana Duchess here. It's on Tobin Bridge duty for the next couple hours.
My level of functioning on a daily basis is not overly high, but, I mean, I'll be in a regular functioning.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, Ty Anderson got here only 15 minutes late, as he would want.
Somebody said...
I actually flinched when you did that.
Somebody said a student in his class, excuse me, Mr. Xanadu, shut up, fatso!
I tell that story of yours all the time.
It's a great story.
I tell that story. Shut up, fatso! Rich had a shop teacher that would call people fat.
Sit down, turkey! It wasn't even shop. It was just like elementary school.
I envision that guy as like an old overweight dude whose face is red and has like a mustache.
That's
a whole nom situation.
He was an old dude who had those super thick regular glasses where you couldn't really see his eyes, almost like noodles from
Coke bottle type deal.
Yeah. And like he would look in the back of the class. You really couldn't tell he was looking at because it just looked like a blur.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that one poor kid went to go sharpen his pencil and sit down, fatso.
Yeah. Frightening.
We should check in on Xanadu. Xanadu, if you're out there, call in.
No, if he's out there, he's not at work, which is good. That's the kind of kid that wears the T-shirt to the pool, and you're like, whoa, I thought you were fat.
There needs to be a super fan intervention for Xanadu. Right? Where's the BWO to give some hugs?
That's a good point.
Well, the BWO.
Quick, to the Mercedes.
Yeah, the BWO is taking the first plane to Nantucket. All right, we'll be back. Ty Anderson in studio in just a moment.
Be a part of this thing.
Watch the show on the Sports Hub channel on the Twitch app.
Is that a euphemism for some kind of sex?
It's Toucher Levitz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You sound like you're about to kill someone.
You know what? I can only think of 20 people on that list. None of them are Blues players, Blues fans. The Bruins did this to themselves, and that's the worst part.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Xanadu, very depressed. Xanadu's the guy who has rollerblades, and he has his flag. It's Bruins' flag, and he rides around. He has season tickets. Never misses a game. However, he's gainfully employed and also working on the advanced degree, but he was very depressed. Just say, Xanadu, tell me you're not working today.
I am working today. I would rather be at work and have something to do than sit at home and stare at my pile of Bruins stuff on my wall and think about last night's.
How pissed are you? Are you has any of the emotion, raw emotion from last night subsided?
It has. I'm really worried about when I get to the anger stage of grief. I have learned to channel that into cleaning my house. So by this weekend, my house is going to be immaculate, which is great because my life has been on hold for the last 2 months, just dealing with the Bruins and watching that and enjoying all that. So at some point when it all wells up and I just get so angry, I'm just going to pick rooms and start cleaning them and scrubbing them. It's going to be great.
All right. So throughout your lifetime, I'm assuming they've only won one cup. So that means that's many years of you having your season end like this. Has there been a time where you didn't know how to channel your anger and you have done something, that unexpected?
So I think 2009 when they lost to Carolina, the flag I have now is not the original flag. That flagpole is in many, many pieces strewn about Causeway Street.
Whoa! All right,
that was about 10 years ago. I've been to all the losses. At this point, I feel like I can handle the tough losses because I'm used to it.
All right.
I was at 09, 10, 12, and 13 for the final games.
All right. So, but you're what are you doing with your students today? Are you gonna just put a movie on?
They're testing.
What? What's that?
I think he had to get.
Are you okay? Okay.
No, because
he's at school. Obviously,
no, because he said I'm sorry, and I think that he had to get off the phone.
Okay, he's in the broom closet. He's in the janitor's.
He's just in the closet of the classroom.
I said, if you know Xanadu, maybe you tweet him. Just say, hey, we love you, Xanadu. Hang in there.
If you're at the school, seek him out. Make sure he's okay. If you're a student, yeah, give an old chuck on the shoulder and say, we feel your pain or something.
Yeah, Xanadu will be all right. Yeah. All right.
I just realized me and Xanadu are very much alike.
Yeah?
I'm not sure how I feel about that now that I think about it.
In what way, Ty Anderson?
Ty Anderson, by the way, from 98.5thesportshub.com, covers the Bruins. So you're dealing with something today.
Oh, I'm just angry and I'm bothered by last night. I mean, that's out of all the losses that I've been to or covered in the past 10 years, that's up there. That might be number one. That was one of the worst no-shows I've ever seen in my entire life. And it starts at the top of the roster. And it's this opportunity is going to go down as the biggest missed opportunity for this era. Like, this isn't Chicago in 2013. That Blackhawks team was a wagon. You were better than this team. You were. And you didn't play up to your standards or even come close to it. An elimination game in your own building. Like, that first line was a liability. They weren't just like, oh, they're not scoring. No, they were a liability. Think of how many times that they had turnovers, giveaways, and it ended up in the back of your net.
Yep.
That's how the second goal happens last night. So it starts with a bad turn. Through 40 minutes of play last night, David Pastrnak had 4 giveaways. And they didn't have him credited for a missed shot. He was 0 for 3 on one-timers. It's unbelievable the way that this team just forgot how to play. And the most important stage. And you were told going into the series, what's the one advantage they have? Experience. It meant nothing last night. It meant absolutely nothing. And we're going to sit here and we're going to do the stupid Tuca thing for a whole nother year now, when in reality, they blew it for him. This was his moment, and the team in front of him blew it for him.
Okay, so how many goals yesterday do you think Tuca's responsible for?
I'd love a stop on the second one or the third one. You know what I'd love even more? I would love the left winger to not go for a line change with 10 seconds left in the period for some reason.
Why did he do that?
He's about to get an 18-minute break. Why do you need that 10 seconds? Why, like, you can't grind it out for 10 seconds? You're supposed to be a smart player.
Do you think he was aware of the time or what was going on?
He should be. He should have the awareness. When you're at this level and you're as good as he is, one of the things that makes you that good is your awareness, your situational awareness. How do you not realize that there's 10 seconds left in the period and he says, oh, I thought the guy was alone. Well, he wasn't, and you should have looked around. Instead, you did a cheap bailout trying to stop Schwartz at the attacking blue.
It was like, tag, you're it.
Yeah, and then he got off. And that is one of the worst line changes you will ever see at the NHL level. One of the absolute worst. And I don't care about Tuca giving up the goal. I care that the first line did nothing for 7 games at 5-on-5. They were on the power play, and they were effective there. Awesome. We all told you, us being the writers and the analysts, everything, that this line was the best line in hockey. And what made them so good was their ability to drive play at 5-on-5. They got their asses kicked at 5-on-5 for 7 games.
Is there anything that Cassidy could have done differently?
Yeah, he could have done what, I wrote about this last summer, that you should break up this line and to have balance. You had no balance. When you get behind David Pastrnak on that right side, it's a cliff. The second best right winger in this series for the Bruins was Carson Kuhlman. He played 2 games. David Backes is unplayably bad in year 3 of a 5-year contract. Their best options on the right side behind Pastrnak are all left shots. No one is a natural right winger on that team besides Backes. And it's infuriating that this is what came back to bite them, when all summer I kept saying this might come back to bite them. And for 82 games of regular season, I look like an idiot because they were dominant. And in the playoffs, they never found their game. They had pockets where they were good. 4 rounds, do you ever feel like, wow, this line's taken over the series? They never did it. And it's infuriating to think about that. Now this, I don't see how you get back here next year. I really don't. The odds say you won't, because rarely do teams win the East 2 years in a row or win their conference 2 years in a row. You're going to be a year older next year too. Chara's 43 next year and still in your top pairing. Bergeron and Krejci are in their mid-30s. this was it. And they no-showed on Garden Ice in a Game 7.
What do you say about all that offensive push they had in the first period? I mean, they had more than their fair share of chances. I thought Jordan Binnington was the difference, specifically last night. You're right. They got their ass kicked 5-on-5 for 7 games, a no-show for the series. But specifically talking about last night, I thought they had tons of great opportunities, and Binnington was just better.
No, they had opportunities, but then even on those opportunities, they were a touch behind. They were just a little bit late in their decision-making, shooting the pucks. They were in their own head all series. Their best players were all series. And then once St. Louis got a lead, a multi-goal lead, it was like, all right, well, this is over.
Yep. You knew when they scored at the end of the first that the game was over.
It sucked the life out of the building completely.
Yep. And it was something that you're just kind of watching, that passively watching at that point.
Now when you say they were the better team, the two, I mean, first of all, St. Louis came to Boston and won 3 games on Bruins home ice. On top of that, 2 of those games that the Bruins won, the Blues had a suspended player. So were they really the better team in the series?
I would say that if they played to their strengths or even to their level, I think they were the better team. But they didn't. They didn't do that. And shame on me for saying that and thinking that the Bergeron line would show up at some point. When Ryan O'Reilly activated in 4 goals in 4 straight games, I kept waiting for the Bergeron line's punchback, their counterpunch. Mm-hmm. It never came. And I mean, that at the end of the day, that's the difference, right? That's the difference. You look at the series, the Blues capitalized on all your mistakes. You couldn't force the Blues to make a mistake because your best players were AWOL for 7 games.
All right, when we get back from John Wallach's headlines, I want to find out what you know about this whole Tim Thomas situation, about the report that came out originally that Tim Thomas was going to be the banner captain, and then all of a sudden, hey, where's Tim Thomas?
Yeah, because a lot of people are like, oh, who cares? Well,
oh, I cared about that. Well, the minute they said Tim Thomas, I don't care if it's Brady, I don't care. But the minute they said it was Tim Thomas, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, because he's like a
mystery.
Like a psycho. So you wonder, like, wow, they're going to, like, the weird guy's coming back. And we'll talk. Unfortunately, Ty's story is a little not as punchy as you'd want, but we'll figure it out. We'll hear the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sport.
Plus.
Thanks for starting your day with Thatcher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Bruins get it up top, but Marchand has to stay, and he's got to play D. Schwartz gets around him. Far circle, walking in. It's backhanded. They score! Alex Pietrangelo walked in. Part of that was Marchand trying to get off the ice and getting the right personnel on. And the Blues with a late goal lead at 2-0 here in the first.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Ty Anderson from 98.5thesportshub.com is in studio. And yesterday, I mean, it was ridiculous. People were like, David Ortiz is going to make a message. David Ortiz is in intensive care.
I
mean,
I think there were legitimate reporters, though, who were saying that the video was going to be made.
But it's ridiculous. I mean, has just been shot.
I couldn't believe it. Like,
it was stupid, and it was never going to happen. And then who cares if Tom Brady does it? But the one thing that was interesting and why it's worth talking about is Tim Thomas was rumored to have been rumored. It was reported that he was going to be the banner guy or whatever the hell it's called. And, you know, because Tim Thomas is a big weirdo and, you know, freaked out and moved out to the middle of nowhere.
No one's seen him. I mean, that's the thing, is that it's like a mystery where this guy's gone. He hasn't made any public appearances in years that I know of, Ty.
Yeah, he's a big weirdo.
And so, I mean, I know that I'm sure the media was the same way that us and the fans were like, I just want to see what this guy looks like. And is this kind of the big peace offering because things ended somewhat badly between the Bruins organization and Tim Thomas? And you look back and it was all kind of over something fairly weird. I mean,
So what was the deal?
What happened yesterday? Do you know anything about, like, after all the people you talked to the media, was he indeed booked and did something completely derail the situation?
As far as I know, asking around yesterday, both inside and outside the organization, he was never coming. He was never here. That started on the internet and it just picked up like wildfire. I think this guy who reported it, Darren Millard, I think was the guy, he's Sportsnet, I think he's Sportsnet up in Canada. I think he just saw sort of the Twitter buzz going crazy. And then when I asked about it at first, I was told, well, we'll see. And I was like, okay, maybe they are. And then as the day went on, I heard from at least four or five people, I would say, that was like, I don't know where this is coming from, but it's not true. He's not here. Like, he wasn't even in the state. He's still comfortably in Idaho doing his thing out there. So
hiding in a bunker.
Yeah, I think ultimately...
Stopping the radio waves that the government shoots into your head.
Fred, you mentioned Tom Brady. I think that was what they were hoping for, and it didn't happen for whatever reason. And half the battle with these things are getting guys that are in town or making accommodations so that they're in town. That's half the battle with these fan banner captains. That's why you see, you know, Jaylen Brown was one of them in the second round. He was in town. You know, that's why he was that. It's easier than flying Larry Bird in. Who says Larry Bird wants to do it to begin with? So that's part of the battle for them, and that's why the Thomas one seemed like a long shot to begin with. Like, I was kind of like, well, that seems weird that he'd fly out here all the way for this.
I was wondering if he would fly or if he thought that was some kind of conspiracy as well. I swear to God, I'm like, how are they going to get this guy to get on a commercial airline? Or if a private airline, for that matter. All right, Mitchell, go ahead.
Trade everyone on the first line. Goodbye.
You see, I think that these guys are obviously playing injured. Pasternak, after he hurt his thumb, I mean, he had a couple of spurts of looking good between them, but I have a feeling that probably came back and was aggravating.
It doesn't excuse the lapse on defense. I mean, their heads weren't in it. I mean, it's one thing not to score. It's another thing to be a complete liability. I mean, Marchand could have two torn Achilles and not come off the ice.
Well, the Marchand thing is different.
Well, no, Marchand has made several mental mistakes during this series. So as far as injuries, I mean, Bergeron has played well with a ruptured lung. So injuries have nothing to do with that first line. And their failures.
And I don't want to hear that, you know, when that starts, when they have their breakup day. I don't want to hear about that because...
I'm saying in reference to someone saying trade the first line. Yeah.
No, I think that the injury thing with Pasternak may have been real, but I feel like in the cup it was more between the ears than anything else. And I thought the moment looked too big for him. It reminded me of 2017 against the Senators when he sort of got his ass kicked for seven games or six games back then. And he didn't look like the Pasternak that you saw in the regular season. It really did feel like this was a wake-up call to him as a player and what it takes to win this time of year. He couldn't get away with the lazy crap that he was trying to do, I think, in the regular season in the first two rounds, the first three rounds, rather. So it's a learning experience. I don't trade him. I don't want Sagan to happen all over again. That's not really what it is. And I think before this round and before this postseason, Pasternak was a pretty good player performer. He was great against Toronto in 2018. He scored some big goals along the way here. But in the cup final, I thought that he was trying to do everything and he was overthinking every single shift he had.
All right. Who are you surprised by the most at their no-show?
Krejci. Krejci, because the Krejci-DeBrusk line, combination, whatever you want to say, I think that's one.
And it was funny to me when people said Krejci was playing well. I mean, that was something that a lot of analysts were saying.
How many great chances did that line generate over the last three or four games?
Yeah, this is the thing. It's like, I'm like, what the hell game are you looking at? Krejci's supposed to be a star. He's not playing. Even if you knew nothing about hockey.
Just look at how much he's getting paid.
Exactly. Like, Krejci should be out there making things happen.
His thing, though? I mean, in the regular season, his point total wasn't necessarily the greatest, but he's a great playoff performer. He led the team in points a couple of different runs.
Yeah, when he got hurt, whatever season it was, the team
2010, he got hurt, and that was supposedly the changing thing of the series.
Yeah, when he got hurt. And I think it's interesting when people go, oh, well, Krejci was great. What the hell are you talking about?
Well.
No, he didn't play well at all.
DeBrusk hustled a lot, but in the end, how many good chances did he have in front of the net?
Krejci's supposed to be a facilitator.
Yes.
I mean, and that's, I blame him for DeBrusk as much as I blame DeBrusk.
I agree.
But what annoyed me about that is that these are two guys, to your point, that are player performers, right? DeBrusk had some big goals last year in the postseason, and Krejci, we know that when he produces, the Bruins go on deep runs. The Bruins got here, and then Krejci disappeared. And part of that, I think, does come back to who's the right winger. But are we at the point now you need to give David Krejci optimal line mates for
exactly.
him to produce? That's part of the problem.
It's supposed to be the other way around. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Supposed to make guys. Guys aren't supposed to make him.
That's exactly it. And that was the narrative throughout the season as well. You know, he never had anyone around him. Well, he's plenty. Fine. You make them better. You slow ass. I mean, with his slow ass, he's supposed to be the guy when he gets space that things happen. Nothing happened.
The entire top six vanished into thin air And it was horrible because, again, we're going to do this Tuca thing, and it's going to annoy the piss out of me because that's not the reason they lost. They lost because they had $33 million of nothingness for seven games in that series.
Yep.
How was the locker room? I heard it was miserable.
Well, we will talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. When we have guests and we have to stay on time.
Oh, is it the time we break? All right.
Dan, just sit in my ear. Is this news to you? All right. We will be right back. Ty Anderson in studio, 617-779-0985.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ty Anderson is in studio from 98.5thesportshub.com. Tom is from Philadelphia, or grew up in Philadelphia. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, I grew up in Philadelphia my whole life. I'm 26 years. I'm 29 now. I've been living.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to hear your bio.
No. Yeah, I mean, who was going to say quit your whining, which I wanted to hear. But, 26 years means nothing. 44 years old. 26 means nothing to me.
What about Bob? I think Bob's going to, Ty Anderson's going to like Bob on line five.
All right, slow your roll. We're all right. Here we go. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning? In lieu of yesterday's, whatnot or what have, I was only calling because I had spoke with you guys a while back. And I had said, in my opinion, I said, I'm not a big Tuukka Rask fan for a lot of reasons. And I always said, maybe I look at it differently. But I always had a name for the guy about 4 years ago. And I call him Mr. Softy. And we talked about that. But I did say to you guys, I said, I'd be honest. In my opinion, his claim to fame, he's the best backup goalie in the world. But I always said, you're not going to win a cup with this guy. And I'll say one thing. He did play much better than I thought. And I'm by all means not throwing him under the bus compared to what happened with, certain things in the, throughout the whole series. But all I'm saying is in the long run, I did say that. And I don't know. I wish I was wrong, but
Bob, before you say another word, let me hear something.
I have a little twist to this series. Why don't we insert Shane Knighty into it? The sheriff.
Is that you, Bob?
No, it's not. That's another Bob.
I think that's you. That's gotta be you.
That sounds a lot like Bob.
Can you just say I have a little twist? Oh, he hung up. That's it. That's totally him. The Shane Knighty, the sheriff guy.
That's definitely him.
I have a little twist to this series. Why don't we insert Shane Knighty into it? The sheriff,
Mr. Softy. So he says the Tuukka Rask is the best backup goalie.
Jim says the same. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, Freddie, these youngsters, there was a deflection, it was a bad change, it was a turnover. Hey, listen, you add a breakaway to that, you're talking about the Blues in the first 15 minutes, and guess what? The rookie made all the saves. 2010, 2013, 2019, we got a track record with this guy in elimination games. He sucks. And Ty Anderson, you're a clown, buddy. You're a jackass.
Hey, how did they get here without Tuukka? I'm just curious. Do they get to this point without him?
He played well.
Okay, No. Okay, he played well, right? You're saying he played well.
Yeah, he played well.
Shouldn't the team pick him up? When he carries you for 23 games, doesn't he earn the right for the team to pick him up at some point?
Hey, listen, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Conference Finals 2011.
Why are you bringing this up? Why?
Tim Thomas shut Vancouver out. Two better teams. And this jackass gives up 3 goals and 11 shots. Ty, you're a jackass, too.
Okay, good call, idiot. The show you want is Felger and Maz, 2 to 6 p.m. Felger will have all the takes that you need that you're just going to parrot because no one can think for themselves anymore. Nobody can think for themselves when it comes to this goaltender. You had $30 million do nothing for 7 games. And we're going to talk about the one bad game that Tuukka Rask had over a 24-game sample. He put you in this position. 23 games of him bailing your ass out. At some point, don't you have to return the favor and score a goal for the guy? Your best players in this series were Noel Acciari and Sean Corrali. That's bad. That can't happen.
All right. What were Rask's numbers in elimination games during the playoffs until last night?
He had more wins than goals allowed. He was 3-0 with 1 goal allowed.
in elimination games before last night. And I still contend three of the four goals last night were not his fault.
Yeah, the more I see it, the second goal he should probably had. Andy, go ahead. I'm not lying.
Hey guys. Hey, so Ty, you said at one point during your bullying story last week that you were from Billerica, I believe.
Yes.
Okay. There's another show associate named Pasta Joseph that's from Billerica. Was he your childhood bully?
No, I never met him. He's a little bit young. I think he's a little bit younger than I am.
Somebody said everyone wanted to know what Tim Thomas looks like. How great would it be if it was Pasta Joe the whole time?
I mean, he's retired to a Wheaties jacket, gained some weight.
He's been hiding around here, gained a little weight, sat around watching Netflix, and
he's retired to his parents' couch.
Let's make that a reality. I like that story.
I love it.
Can you imagine the smells coming out of Pasta Joe's room?
Oh, he posted a picture of his feet last night, which I'm just morally against.
I follow him on Twitter. Jack, go Twitter. Ahead. Oh, yeah. He's just like, hungry.
He's like, if they lose, I'm going to take my socks off.
I don't think that's like one of his tweets. They're like, all right, you knock yourself out there, Pasta Joe.
Well, that's a day at the gym for him. Jack, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm just calling these Tuukka Rask kids. Are you kidding me? Like, we wouldn't be here without him. It was a typical bad change. The guy calling, the young guys are a typical bad change. Are you drunk, buddy? You must be still, because he played out of his mind the entire Stanley Cup Finals and the entire playoffs. We wouldn't be here without him. So all these Tuukka Rask kids can go screw themselves.
I agree with that 100%. I'm telling you, I've talked about this on the here before. There's a large segment of this fan base who they don't want to see the Bruins win as much as they want to see Tuukka Rask fail. It's the weirdest thing in the world. And they're like, see, I was right. I'm like, not really. It took you 24 games to be right.
But this morning, I see why they're upset. Now, to say trade Tuukka Rask is ridiculous, but you can be mad at Tuukka Rask because last night he got outperformed by a rookie. I mean, there were goals that were utterly ridiculous that Binnington stopped last night. He stole them a game. Tuukka Rask did not.
He stole them game six, though. Game seven doesn't happen without Tuukka's game six.
No, I agree. But you can be mad at Tuukka for last night's game.
How many of those three goals could he have stopped? Should he have stopped?
He could have stole them a game, like Binnington. Like, I mean, how many goals should Binnington not have stopped that were utterly absurd?
Does he have to steal you two games in a row, though?
No.
That's what I mean.
But like, I understand why people are upset.
You need the lift. You need the lift from your team. You never got it.
I get that. But, I mean, they had a ton of shots on goal last night, Ty. I mean, that first period... What was the difference? Like 12-4, I think.
Yeah.
And then it continued. The ice continued to be tilted in the second period, which was just tough hockey to watch. But either way, shots on goal were there. Now in the second period, I believe they're all from like way the hell out by the blue line.
Pointless.
Yeah, it really was. But I mean, there were attempts. But I guess this morning, I'm not that pissed off at people who are yelling at Tuukka just for last night. But I agree with you. He's the reason you're there. But you gotta. When the guy who's a rookie steals a game and your guy doesn't, it's okay to be pissed.
No, and I'm not saying don't be pissed. I'm as pissed off as anyone this morning. I just feel like the anger is being thrown at the wrong people, at the wrong person.
Sure,
right now.
As a whole. Yeah. I understand that. Yeah. Totally, especially this series. Absolutely.
When you got Marchand who's out here, you know, chirping the media and being like, you being crispy with reporters and acting like this big bad dude. Like, dude, you got to perform too. Like, that's how that goes. If you want to be that guy, be that guy. I love it. You got to perform, though.
Well, there's a pretty good argument to be made that, I mean, if you had to blame anyone for who shifted the game in one direction the most, it's Marchand, and it's that line change. I mean, if that second goal isn't scored with 7 seconds left, you were there.
Yep.
The whole entire... I mean, you said it best. The energy was just sucked out of that building at that moment.
And in my opinion, if that goal doesn't happen, the Bruins still have a great chance of winning that game. Once that goal was scored, it was all over.
Yep.
And that's Marchand's fault.
And yeah. It's Marchand's fault. It would have been nice if Tuukka got that one. That's the only one that I find fault in.
But then I look back at the second period. He had that crazy save.
Yes, the one that was behind him. Yeah.
And I went, okay, he just saved you a goal.
Yes.
You need Marchand now to come down and score a goal and even it out. And then we can talk about Tuukka. We can say, geez, it'd be great if he stopped one of these. But you never got the canceling out goal, if you will, from Marchand or his line mates.
It's like the second period is tough to remember because it was just so... It was over.
It was infuriating. That was another tough
one. I wasn't infuriated. It was just like staring at crap.
Can you stay for another break?
Yeah, we can stay for the whole hour.
All right.
Don't. Ty's got nowhere to go. This is his last.
We're keeping him awake, for God's sake.
This is his last shift for the next 8 months. All right. So Ty Anderson in studio. There will be no commercials here at 617-779-0985. What do you know? We have phone calls for the first time in 8 years.
You don't say.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back. No commercials here, just the headlines.